listening to Scopes Monkey Choir.
Well, well, well.
Well, well, welcome to Scopes Monkey Choir.
Yeah. We haven't made an episode in like over a year. And it's now it's 2014.
Special news flash.
And for various reasons, we decided to do an episode.
Special Scopes Monkey news flash.
about castrati, or a... that's a kitty. We still have a kitty.
That's a cat strati.
And, that's terrible.
We're back.
Did you miss us? I remembered how to edit. Yeah, so shall we say... inspired by a recent episode of another podcast.
Another much more famous podcast.
Yes. We decided to throw together this episode about a fascinating topic that we've always meant to do and just never gotten around to.
Yeah, why don't we have a listen to...
this.
Oh, shit. Sorry.
What is that sound?
That sound is the sound of Signor Alessandro Moreschi.
Long-time listeners, and I mean long-time listeners, may recall that back in episode one...
One! At the end of episode one, if you made it all the way to the end.
Yeah, which you would have to be pretty determined to do, because we were still figuring it out. Anyway, we played a little bit of that recording, and we discussed the castrati a little bit. I think we got a couple things wrong, and ever since that episode, we've been saying we should talk more about the castrato.
And so we are going to do that today. So let's get Moreschi out of the way. Moreschi is widely described as the last castrato, although he may not have been the last person castrated for musical reasons
right.
In Italy. He was castrated just before 1870, when it became really officially totally against the law
right.
to castrate boys in Italy. So he just slipped in under that, but there may have been others who were castrated later, because there were a number of singers in the Sistine Chapel Choir, of which Moreschi was a member, a famous member. He was famous for singing particularly one florid piece of Beethoven's.
And didn't he eventually become conductor?
And I don't know if he was officially the conductor, but he, along with making these solo recordings, which he made between the years of 1902 and 1904 on wax cylinder, and he made something like 10 recordings, he also recorded the whole chapel choir with him conducting. And it's believed that there may have been a couple of other sopranos or altos who were castrati in that choir at the time.
Right, but I think it's reasonable to give him the title of the last castrato, just because he was one of the last castrati, and he also is the only one who recorded any solo music. And so he sort of gets, historically, he kind of just fits into that name, even though it may not be completely accurate.
Sure. He lived till 1922.
Yeah.
He also, it's interesting to note that the first thing he recorded was a florid piece that was in the style that castrati, when they were superstars, were known for, with lots of coloratura and extremely high, fast passages. And that when he listened to his recording, this was the very first recording that he had ever made in 1902. It was very early in recording technology. He was apparently kind of horrified by how it sounded when he listened back to it. And he had a second go at that piece. He wanted to record it again.
Mm-hmm.
I do not have the name of that piece at the tip of my tongue.
Il tipo di tango? Oh, no, it was German, though, right? Wait.
It was not German in the Sistine Chapel.
I don't know.
No,
the piece. I don't know what I'm talking about.
That piece wasn't... It wasn't the Beethoven that he was famous for.
Oh, I see.
Also, some people like to say, when they listen to this recording, because it has such an odd sound and such an odd stylistic It has such an odd style to it, with all these kind of like yodely approaches to notes and lots of slurps and slides everywhere. People often say, just offhand, that he was past his prime when he was recording these things.
Right, but he was in his mid-40s.
He was in his mid-40s,
which is not past, in classical singing, that is not past your prime.
Yeah.
But perhaps perhaps it also just meant that he hadn't been doing much solo singing for years. Maybe
that
he was just out of practice.
True.
Which would be the same thing in the end.
Although it may also have been that this style was just popular at that time. Because if you listen to some other early recordings of famous singers, I would say that tastes have changed.
Tastes have changed.
Tastes have changed.
As they do.
Yes. So let's talk about castrati in general, and in case we have not made that clear, well, a castrato is...
a eunuch that sings.
A eunuch who sings.
Now, we should also point out that we're going to talk a bit about the Western classical tradition of the castrati, and they were basically, which is basically from the mid-16th century to the end of the 19th century, right?
About
300 years there. The castrati were a big deal, especially in the 1700s. But there are records of castrati way, way, way back. The first mention of eunuchs who were noted for their wonderful singing is actually back in ancient Sumeria. So this is something that was noted.
They were recorded on clay tablets?
They were recorded on clay tablets.
Excuse me, documented on clay tablets, inscribed on clay. So wait, somewhere on a clay tablet, someone wrote, "This guy who has no balls sings high."
Yes, that's what it says. I didn't know that you read ancient Sumerian.
Well, obviously, your translation. It's a loose translation.
No, if you're gonna plug me for details on that, then you're out of luck.
That's all you know.
Yeah. That's all
I
know. I didn't follow that up research-wise.
Inscribed with a stylus on a clay tablet.
Oh, my God. So, here and there, there have been eunuchs for all sorts of different reasons, both on purpose and by mistake, throughout history in various cultures. But we're going to talk about just the phenomenon of the castrati, the on-purpose castrati that took over European classical music for quite a while, especially in Italy.
And I would say that it all starts with the Catholic Church.
Mm.
Because St. Paul said women should shut up in church.
I.e.
I believe
sing,
he used
not
the,
talk,
the word
not...
tacheat. That's Latin.
Oh.
For shut up. What? To be silent. So women were not allowed to sing in Roman Catholic churches, especially the Byzantine ones, most notably in Constantinople, where the practice of having eunuchs in the church choirs was documented as early as the 1100s, I think it is, the first. And the way it was documented, it sort of seemed like it was a longstanding practice that they had been singing soprano and alto in those choirs.
Right, so you put those two things together. You want a lot of music in church, but you won't let women sing in church. And then you have a boys' choir, of course, but then there's a lot of music that a boys' choir can't handle because they are children. And what do you do about it?
Well, and also the fact that in Constantinople, there was a tradition of there being a lot of eunuchs around for other
reasons.
No,
I know.
Reasons.
I was trying to move on.
We were trying to move on from that. Yeah. Because otherwise we're going to break into a chorus of Istanbul right now. Which is totally off topic. Anyway, so continuing on, then in about the mid-1500s, there's some documentation of eunuchs singing in the Roman, that is, the papal church choirs.
And I think it's good to note here that that the castrati phenomenon in Western music really started taking off. It started taking off around the same time as opera started developing, but it wasn't necessarily
earlier.
I was getting to that. It's largely described as an operatic phenomenon, but it's really not. It starts a little earlier, and then when opera starts to take off, the castrati got involved in opera, but it started as just a church tradition, right?
Yeah, there were lots of them in church choirs beginning at least beginning to be documented in the 1500s. And there were a couple of other phenomena that were going on at that time. One is there's this record of Spanish falsettists who supposedly sang up into the range of female sopranos, and nobody knows exactly what technique they used. There is some speculation from contemporary sources that they were actually castrati, but it is entirely possible that they had a technique that allowed them to sing up in the soprano range. We know this is possible because male falsettists do it today.
They do it today.
Yeah. It went out of fashion for a long time, but in the last 20 years or so, with the craze for Baroque and earlier music, men have been redeveloping techniques to sing really high. Right. Anyway, so we don't know, but there were Spanish falsettists who were singing, who were hired to sing this very complicated music that had high parts, where people, for one reason or another, didn't want to hear women singing it, and it was too complicated for boys. So all this music was getting written, and there was a convenient population of eunuchs around, and so they started singing it, and the music got more and more complicated, and they kept using the eunuchs. And thus we have, working up into the 1600s, where there are documented numbers of soprano and alto castrati in Italian, and there I'm using scare quotes because Italy didn't exist yet as a unified country.
Right.
Italian church choirs, where there were sort of equal numbers of male high voices with the male low voices in those choirs.
Mm-hmm. Should we, we've talked for a couple minutes now without getting into the question that is always on people's minds, which is, what do you mean by castration?
Well, let me read you an account from the 1700s, an account of how this was done. The child, often drugged with opium or some other narcotic, was placed in a very hot bath for some time until it, the child, was in a state of virtual insensibility. Then the ducts leading to the testicles were severed. Oh my God,
Severus snipped.
Thinking about that.
Severus
snipped. Oh, they were Severus snipped. So that the latter, in course of time, shriveled and disappeared.
Now that part I don't know about, but that's an interesting one because there are a lot of different ways to get rid of the testes. But the Italian tradition, anyway, it seems pretty clear that it was not a removal process. They would go in
snip, snip.
And snip, snip on the inside. So the castrati not only had penises, but they had balls. I said it.
They may have been shriveled up, but they had balls.
Yeah. No, but I think it's, you know, often that if you say eunuch, a lot of people imagine all sorts of gruesome scarring and such, and that would not have been in the case.
Not in these Italian cases. Right. And this was really done in Italy, in the Italian states. There is not much record of it being those operations being performed outside of Italy, although there eventually were some castrati of German and maybe English birth.
Right.
Oh, but it also should be said that this operation has to be performed before puberty.
Right.
So that old myth of, you know, you get kicked in the balls and then suddenly you talk in a high voice.
Right.
No, it's not that. Why don't you tell us some of the medical details about why you keep singing in a high voice if you get snipped?
Well, I don't want to get too far into that. It's just obviously puberty causes a lot of changes to take place in the body. But in men in particular, the vocal cords grow enormously. At puberty, the male vocal cords grow an average of about 63%, and that's compared to an average of about 34% in female vocal cords at puberty.
And this is related to why men have an Adam's apple, because it's the thyroid cartilage that extends outward and allows the vocal folds to be longer.
Right. So, and then without getting into too much medical details, of which I would just stumble upon words, for the castrati, the vocal cords would not grow. They would retain a boy's size vocal cords, but a lot of the other changes would still take place. So that what they would end up with is not, they would end up as an adult. It was not just a boy's vocal apparatus retained. It was actually, and it was not a woman's vocal apparatus. It was actually just a completely different combination of the combination of body details. And that's why the sound was quite different. It wasn't the sound of a man singing in falsetto, and it wasn't the sound of a woman singing. It was a different thing, because they had the resonance of an adult male, and in fact often they could be actually larger for
Lung capacity you're talking about in this case. And the resonant cavities as well.
Exactly. Just in general, the lung capacity would still be in adult males, maybe even larger. The ribs would often be stronger or longer, or sort of thicker and longer.
And we'll come back to that.
Yeah, we'll come back to that.
The bones.
So they would end up with this completely different combination of physical characteristics, which gave a completely different sound to the voice. Do you want to talk about the bones?
Oh, sure. So one of the effects of cutting off the testicles
snippy love,
whatever they did,
just to snip,
it caused various hormonal imbalances and certain puberty changes that they didn't go through.
Right.
So it has had various effects in the body, one of which was that the normal maturity of the bones didn't happen. While you're growing, your bones have something called an epiphyseal... Well, the epiphyseal line is what it's replaced with when you reach maturity, but it's called an epiphyseal cap, which is that at the end of the bones, there's sort of a gap and then another bit of cartilage. And so while you're growing, the bone kind of grows into that gap. And then once you're full-sized, if you reach sexual maturity...
Usually at about age 23.
Yeah, some bone grows into that gap, and that's the epiphyseal line. And the epiphyseal line is the gap itself.
Yeah,
the epiphyseal line is the bone that grows in, and then it gradually disappears because the bones just grow together.
Okay.
Apparently, some of the castrati never went through that maturation stage, and so the epiphyseal gap never closed, and their bones kind of kept growing.
Right.
So they got extremely long bones, they got extremely tall, and there may have been a similar thing happening in their skulls, because the skulls, too, ossify at maturity, and they might not have had that maturation. Some of them also had hormone imbalances that caused them to be enormously fat.
Mm-hmm.
They also did not grow beards, and they did not have male pattern baldness in general, although they weren't sort of homogeneous. They all had different various effects.
Right.
Do you want to talk about Farinelli at this point?
Yeah, I think we should talk about Farinelli. So Farinelli, you may know, because there was a movie by that name. I don't know.
A largely fictionalized movie in the 90s.
Yeah, Farinelli is basically considered the most famous castrato ever. He was
a superstar.
He was a superstar. And this is in the sort of peak of the popularity of opera, and he is the biggest star. He was a rock star, basically. So he did, in fact, have the snip-snip, and there are all sorts of crazy stories about him, and most of them are probably not true, but we're not talking really about his life so much as the fact that, as the most famous castrati, here's the part, I'm going to blow your mind. Farinelli, his body was exhumed in 2006.
No way.
By Italian scientists from Bologna and Pisa. They dug him up because they basically wanted to do a physical check on his skeleton to see, all right, what, you know, physically, like, what is true and what is not true about the stories about him. So they found that he did, in fact, have oddly long limbs,
mm-hmm.
Just as it was said that both in anecdote that castrati had, and then also what you'd expect if you... did snip snip.
Someone compared them to pregnant cows because they were so awkward and bony at one point.
So yeah, he had the long limb bones. They found evidence of osteoporosis, which is another thing that you would expect to happen.
But not usually in mature men.
Oh, and he did have the persistence of the epiphyseal lines. So all those things that were sort of expected and with that operation were there. Now, he also had a weird skull. That's my layman's version of saying that his frontal bone was affected by severe hyperostosis frontalis interna. Basically, his skull was a slightly malformed. He had thickening of his skull, and it actually had sort of like lumps on the inside of his skull. And it's this kind of bone problem is something that does happen sometimes to postmenopausal women.
No way.
But almost never in men. When it does rarely happen to men, it is linked, we now know that it is linked to behavioral disorders, severe headaches, and then neurological diseases such as Alzheimer's.
Huh.
Now, since we're talking, this is under the heading of Farinelli, I should point out that Farinelli did not have Alzheimer's. He actually lived to 78 or something, ripe old age for those days, and was reportedly mentally totally acute up until the day he died. So he did not have that problem, but he had basically all the other stuff.
Did he have behavioral problems?
It's a good question. Like, I don't know if he had headaches. He might have had terrible headaches.
Oh, headaches, right.
I don't know.
He wasn't renowned for being particularly difficult, unlike some of his other rock star colleagues.
Right. Oh, and can I just say that there is apparently decent evidence. There is apparently decent evidence that Farinelli could hold a note for a minute.
A minute?
A minute. So, if that doesn't sound long, I want you to just pause right now and get out a little stopwatch and sing a note and see how long you can hold it. I almost guarantee you it's not going to be a minute. What's her name over here is singing right now. She's a professional singer. And it's pretty good. I don't know how long it is, but we're going to have to...
Okay, I wasn't quite out, but I wasn't really singing.
That was pretty good.
I wasn't really singing. I think that was over 30 seconds.
Yeah, you
and
weren't.
And I'm just a girl.
You weren't projecting into an opera house.
No, I wasn't. It's true, but I was holding a note.
Still, being able to hold a note like that for a castrato would, while unusual, it's to be expected because they had. Huge. They had an adult lung capacity,
but at least bigger.
But they had very small vocal cords.
Basically
an adult adult lung capacity powering the vocal engine of a boy, and that just means that literally they could hold notes longer and probably sing louder. Does that sound?
Contemporary accounts describe it as being sort of preternaturally loud and mm-hmm. also sounding like one Frenchman the French were really not accustomed to hearing this kind of singing, and they didn't actually have much taste for it, unlike most of the other countries of Europe who welcomed these Italian singers into their opera houses. So sometimes a Frenchman would go and write volubly about how these weird Italians sang. And one of them described it as sounding like the castrato was singing a full octave above the women's range. Uh-huh. So even though that's not where they sang, apparently it had a really kind of piercing quality, which is not surprising at all. And an incredibly loud volume. But also at first hearing... potentially unpleasant.
Right. Certainly, by the description, sounds kind of unpleasant.
Yeah. Also, I wanted to mention that I saw it written in a few places that they may have developed extremely large thoraxes, that their thorax was actually overdeveloped.
Uh-huh.
And but, right, who
because,
knows?
Like, because of the rib cage too, would apparently
maybe
be larger.
Maybe because their rib cage is never ossified. Maybe because they trained constantly their lung capacity, but their bones never matured. This is all speculation.
Right. I think another thing to point out as we wrap up here is the sad side of this tradition. I mean, besides the fact that you have all these thousands of men who are unable to reproduce and unable to live what one would call a normal life. So where for every Farinelli, I guess there was only one Farinelli, but for every superstar singer, there were hundreds or even thousands of just sort of work-a-day singers in church choirs and such. And then for all of those, there were plenty of boys who were castrated before puberty who then did not become singers.
There may have been fewer than is popularly said in musical circles. Mostly, there were stories about people selling their boys as castrati.
Right.
But in general, a boy was only castrated after they had a musical test at one of the conservatories, and if they were deemed to have a fairly good voice and some musical ability, then they were sent to be castrated. And this was done fairly openly, at least in Bologna. It may have been that there were even shops that advertised, "We castrate boys here," but that's potentially apocryphal because it's written by a tourist.
Right.
But there were definitely surgeons whose records survived.
Yeah, we have. There were
charges for.
Right. It's on price lists of the time. Yeah.
And there are some letters even of boys petitioning powerful men to give them money to have themselves castrated, because if they already showed some musical promise, sometimes they wanted to be castrated to preserve their voices. There are at least three or four letters like that that survive.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't necessarily a horrible thing for a boy to contemplate in a certain 150 years of history. But in any case, so they would go to a conservatory and be heard, and then they would be castrated, and then they would be sent back to the conservatory, which was a boarding school, and be really rigorously trained in only music. And lists survive of what kind of training they would have. They would really spend all day either training their voices or learning to play instruments or learning to read music.
Right.
They read in all kinds of clefs. And at first, these conservatories were really training them for a life in church music.
Right.
So they were learning to play the organ. They were learning to play the harpsichord. They were learning to realize figured bass. They were learning to harmonize. They were learning to sight read. And they were basically, most of them were passed from that into jobs in the church.
Right. And then some
if they
actually
weren't very talented.
Some actually went into acting too, because also on the stage at the time it was basically men, right?
In some cities, women were banned from the stage, and mostly in Rome they were banned off and on. But in Rome they were also banned from singing in church. So a large number of castrati were employed in Rome. But the numbers are maybe not as high as you would think, because they did keep records in the conservatories of how many eunuchs there were, and they kept records in the church choirs of how many there were. And there were probably on the order of hundreds, not thousands, in all of Italy at one time.
Mm-hmm.
So there weren't enormous numbers of them. And the ones who ended up in acting, sometimes something would happen to their voice. Either they would lose it because of they had overstrained it, or just the way people lose their voices these days, you get a polyp or you get nodes or something. A couple of them went into acting. Some of them became conductors in the church choirs. Some of them just kept playing instruments. But there weren't thousands of them running around and looking for work. Also, some of them became priests or monks. The church at some point decided to allow them to follow that path if they failed as musicians.
Right.
So there were a lot of them in monasteries. And there was a joke. There was a joke at the time, because in order to be a priest, you supposedly had to be a complete man. And there was a joke that when eunuchs became priests, in order to say mass, they would have to carry their stones in their pocket up to the altar.
Ah.
Which obviously was not true, but...
Right.
Yeah. So,
imagine that. Jokes about sexuality.
Well, that was a lot of...
It?
Yeah, that was a lot of blathering about castrati.
Yeah, that was I think that's probably plenty. There are a million myths and legends around the castrati too. So if we didn't mention it, it's not true.
And if we did mention it, it's probably also not true.
Yeah. And that's your castrati report. I can't do it. What?